Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting, RBN Republic Broadcasting.org. It's the soup kitchen of free speech, because you're starving for it. You're starving for it. But then you can come in here and we dish it out, and it's good. And it seems like it's free, but there's no such thing as a free brunch. Everybody knows that. So what you can afford, please send to RBN. How do they do that, Jeremy?
You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And call in your debit or credit card number to Julie on the day shift and Mike on the night shift, and contribute to free speech. Get that soup that you've been hungering for.
There you go. All right. So we are, this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show, and we were finishing up part one yesterday. Do we have any leftover odds and ends, any items that we need to discuss before moving on from part one?
The topic that dominated last night's show on In Plain Sight was Texas GOP secession, and we went through a Daily Stormer article very thoroughly. One of our callers, Paul in California, was making the point that even if Texas in any form or fashion did secede, that it would be part of an overall plan. And I just wanted to point out that maybe there are big plans, but the plan is not going as scheduled. And I think what we're seeing, specifically in the West, more specifically in the U.S., is political backlash against the whole gay agenda and trannyism, as we outlined last night, and In Plain Sight, with the GOP in Texas actually talking about, you know, political secession. And I say political because I don't think the financial stuff has been worked out yet. But it's a beginning, and I think it's a good conversation to have, and it's a good thing to highlight what we are witnessing here, and that is the backlash of the American populace against this whole Ukraine war, COVID, and trannyism, and even Black Lives Matter to that extent. A huge backlash happening in the U.S. Your comments?
There's a huge backlash. Things have gone way too far. And there's an appeal to the idea that there's a giant plan and it's just being rolled out. But when you look at the chaos that we've got, you say, oh, yeah, that's part of the plan. They just want chaos. Well, there may be certain benefits to chaos, but you look specifically at the war with Russia and, you know, this – not just the military one, but the economic one, which was the main one, because the idea from Victoria Nuland and the State Department's point of view was to overthrow Vladimir Putin, and that's not happening. He's emerging as he and the Chinese are emerging as not just co-equals with the United States and NATO and the EU, but really superior. Because, you know, they've been tested and they've met the test. I don't see how this could be. I mean, you'd have to have a very convoluted plan, and for it to be part of a plan. And not only that, but I think that anybody, say, 5 years ago who was trying to read the tea leaves and say what the plan was, I don't think anybody would have said that. Oh, they're going to try to overthrow Vladimir Putin, and he's going to beat them. And I mean, it's so implausible. So
if you're talking about plans, I mean, you know, when our State Department, when the State Department, it doesn't belong to us, you know, under Kerry in 2014, the Obama presidency and Victoria Nuland basically orchestrating it, you know, when they overthrew the Russian friendly government in the Maidan coup in Ukraine, there was probably a plan there. There was probably a plan to install a government that was hostile to Russia because they wanted to overthrow, you know, Assad in Syria, and they knew that Russia would back Syria
and overthrow Putin too. I mean, I think that had Trump not been elected, Victoria Nuland very likely would have probably been Secretary of State, but she and those of her ilk would have been very much involved in the administration, and that this stuff would have happened, this war would have happened 4 or 5 years earlier at a time when it might have even succeeded. But
let's even go a step further. Let's concede some of the, you know, the theories that Trump is a Jewish puppet. Let's concede that just for a moment, if you would. The Jews that are aligned with Trump, or that were not aligned with the Jewish power in America that wanted, you know, war in Ukraine, that wanted this whole thing to happen sooner, and that Trump was a wrench in the works. So there is huge schisms in Jewish power. If you want to concede that Donald Trump was aligned with Jewish power, and which I do personally, but that's actually, you know, that's actually testifying to the fact that there is not an overall, you know, plan of Jews meeting in rooms and having an overall plan. There are schisms, and these schisms have been very much exposed just in the last 6 months.
I think there's certainly one issue, and probably more issues, where there is near unanimity among Jews. I mean, you have a few people like Gilad Otzman or Brother Nathaniel who are really calling out Jewish power and everything. But I think the top priority of repressing anti-Semitism, I think pretty much all Jews have that. And they probably have, there's probably a fair amount of agreement on what's best for the Jews. They want what's best for the Jews. I think there's a broad consensus that they want what's best for the Jews. There's not always agreement on how to go about that. And, you know, I would think that the vast majority of Jews in power, they support Israel. I think alarm at Vladimir Putin is probably pretty widespread, probably not as universal as some of these other things. Immigration, that they do want, because it's important in order to repress anti-Semitism. They want to be able to continue to dominate Western societies, so they want immigration in order to block a nativist white Christian nationalism. They want these things. But, you know, there's also the issue of priority. What's more important? So maybe there's fairly widespread agreement that they don't like Vladimir Putin and would rather have him be replaced by the types of people that they replaced Yanukovych with in Ukraine, right? Jewish oligarchs. Maybe they would like to do that. And maybe they would also like to hamstring or destroy Iran. But maybe you can't do both at the same time. What's the priority going to be? And, you know, you look at I've used this example before. You look at the Victoria Nuland gang, and they certainly wanted to prioritize overthrowing Vladimir Putin, and the Netanyahu gang, which was at odds with them, was trying to they wanted to prioritize destroying Iran as any kind of rival, because, you know, they're in different places. One group's in Washington, and another group's in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. It's not to say, you know, it's not to say that there are these warring factions of Jews who are each other's biggest enemies, but they're not a monolith, and there are differences of opinions amongst them. And, you know, some are working more on this and some are working more on that. And, you know, honestly, I think if you looked at Jewish individuals, most Jewish individuals who are active in policy, active in politics, you know, not necessarily Congress people, but people who, like somebody like Victoria Nuland, she's devoting all her time to what she does, and she's not devoting much time to immigration, not devoting much time to gayness, because that's not what she does. And there and the Roberta Kaplan, was that her name, the one who, the Jewish lawyer who got the gay marriage thing before the Supreme Court, she's probably not devoting a whole lot of time to foreign policy things. So you have different elements, and they largely work towards common goals, but you know, they have individuals and you know, the myriad of organizations that represent Jewish interests. Not all of them have these like overreaching full agendas. They're focused on particular parts of the agenda. And so you can have competition between them. You can have disagreements between them. It doesn't mean that they're warring factions, but it also means that they're not a monolith. It's something in between.
Interesting points. So if I can just surmise and maybe give my opinion, global Jewish power, they may agree on certain points of interest. For example, let's take two points, for example. Immigration into the West to displace white people, point number one. Point number two, what's best for Israel. Okay, with those two points in mind, maybe global Jewish power agree on those two points, but the means of which to achieve those points, there's a lot of divergence. For example, you know, Steinlein, who I mentioned multiple times on this show and your show, Steinlein in 2001 wanted to displace whites, but he wanted to do it much, much slower. And, you know, at a rate where the whites were not aware of it, you know, like the frog boiling in the water, whereas you had other Jewish elements that wanted to do it swiftly and just get it done with. So you have the same objective, displace whites, but two different means of going about it. Similarly, what's best for the state of Israel? You know, your Newland types, your Blinken types that are in power now, you know, they're balls to the wall. You know, sanctions on Russia, you know, they supported the whole Maidan coup. But the secular state of Israel is sort of left high and dry. They don't want to go that fast. They still want to have good relations with Russia. The Jewish oligarchs in Russia, you know, want to retain some sort of power. But this whole war in the Ukraine has sort of thrown a wrench in that, you know, where you have Jews in the United States actually doing sanctions on Jewish oligarchs in Russia and seizing their yachts, right? And the state of Israel is like, whoa, hold back. You know, we still got some stuff to get out of Russia here. You know, what are you doing? So I hope I'm communicating it, you know, coherently, is that you may have a main objective in this power, but the means of achieving that objective, there's a lot of divergence. And I think we're seeing that divergence exposed now.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, I mean, I had been making the point that there are a variety of items on the agenda. And how do you prioritize those items? Is destroying Iran a higher or lower priority than overthrowing Vladimir Putin, for instance? And, you know, there's a lot of other items on the agenda. There's the, you know, immigration. There's the gayness and the trannyism and white guilt and black crime, the promotion of black crime. And there's a lot of things. But you're also making the point that within, you know, in order to advance a particular agenda, such as replacement immigration, there are differences of opinion. And this is also very important, because I've used the term in the past, the double or nothing Jews and the cash in your chips and come back tomorrow. And, you know, Steinlein regarding immigration, is cash in your chips and come back tomorrow. Don't rush it too much. You know, we've made some progress. Okay, let's consolidate that progress, and then we'll make some more progress. Don't go too fast. And others are like, no, it's pedal to the metal. And since the election of Trump, I think in general, at least on immigration and gayness and a lot of other issues, the pedal to the metal types. They see Trump as a backlash, and the idea is, well, okay, even if we're going to wake up some people, even if we're going to attract some attention, while we've got our dominant position, we've just got to get what we can right now and get it over with, even if it wakes some people up. And that's what they've been doing, and a lot of people have been waking up. And is it going to turn out to backfire on them? And it very well may. It very well may have been that the Steinlight people, who wanted to go slow, are going to be able to say, "I told you so." But it also might be that they're saying, "I told you so," after having lost the game.
And when Steinlight penned his paper, you know, A Jewish Interest in Changing American Demography, in 2001.
Was that the name of the paper?
I paraphrased it.
Okay.
The Jewish Stake in America's Changing Demography. It's something like that. At the time that was penned, you didn't have the trannyism going on. That was 2001. That was a lifetime ago. And so here's what I'm pointing out. You have Jews like, you know, Newland and Blinken, who are relying on the power of the United States to achieve their anti-Russian goals, but yet other factions of Jewish power are accelerating the trannyism and the homoism, and they're causing a huge backlash that's actually weakening the United States. You know, and so the very power that some Jews are relying on to achieve their goals, other Jews are weakening that power and acting against them. And I think that's something that we've observed. That's something that we're observing right now in real time.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. A lot of what is being done does certainly weaken the power of the United States. You think about the economy, you think about the COVID stuff, which is, you know, threw at one point 40 or 50 million people out of work. People aren't working. You get power. Power is based on people's work. If people are working effective, then you gain power resources. And when you're telling a big hunk of your workforce, just stay home. And if people stay home for a couple of years, their skills are degraded. Even when they come back, their skills are degraded. Either their health is degraded, their strength is degraded. And so, a lot of the Jewish, policies and the COVID thing, I feel safe to say that's really been, we wouldn't have had this COVID stuff if it hadn't been for Jews. The media first and foremost the media, but then, you know, even if you look into the public health bureaucracies of the important states like New York and Illinois and Pennsylvania, you had they were run by Jews. You had that tranny running the one in Pennsylvania. And so it was a Jewish affair, and it's weakened the United States. And, even Vladimir Putin is pointing out that a lot of these economic issues, these economic problems that the West is facing now, it's not a result of the war. It's a result of past policies, including these coronavirus policies.
But Patrick, this is the argument. But Patrick, Fauci and Bill Gates aren't Jews.
Yeah, they're not Jews. Yeah. Some people will say, "Oh no, they're actually Jews," but no, they're not Jews. But it doesn't matter. Everybody involved doesn't have to be Jewish. What I said was that if it wasn't for Jewish power, you wouldn't have had these policies. And we can talk about that more on the other side of the break.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number, hadn't checked.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
That Fauci and Bill Gates, not Jews. Some people want to say everybody's Jewish. Everybody they don't like is Jewish. Not only Jewish, but a dual Israeli citizen. And if you're going to make claims that you can't back up, then you're going to lose your credibility. And what's the point of that? And here's the thing: they don't even need to be Jewish, because the fact is that there is a critical mass of Jews involved in the corona apocalypse. That Without them, even if you had Fauci, even if you had Bill Gates, without that support from the mass media, from these health bureaucracies in major Democrat-run states, you just wouldn't have had a corona apocalypse. It would have been handled completely differently. So that's the point. I kick it over to you.
Yeah, this gets back to the schisms. I mean, so much of Jewish power relies on the power of the United States and the dollar. But yet we see other factions of Jewish power, willing to sacrifice that and collapse it. And so it's, maybe warring factions. I don't know if that's the correct term. Definitely factions that aren't in agreement on the process of which to obtain their overall goals. And you're going to get a backlash, similar to Weimar Germany, where you had tremendous economic depression and moral depression. And that led to the knee-jerk reaction of the Nazi Party. And that may be very well what they're facing here in the U.S. and in the West.
Oh, God.
knee-jerk reaction that they do not want. I mean, isn't it similar? I mean, your first transsexual, your first transvestite, you know, movement was in Weimar Germany in the '20s, the 1920s. And so you had this perfect storm of moral decay and financial decay that led to a party like the Nazis coming to power.
No, that's exactly what it was. And you know, honestly, some people point this out. If I guess Paul Stevenson points it out that, you know, if you look historically, you just see this cycle in country after country of Jews acquiring a lot of power and provoking a backlash and then, you know, being expelled or, you know, chased out of power. And, you know, it's true. This has happened over and over and over again. I wouldn't necessarily automatically count on it, but well, you know, this is what's happened.
Well, no, because in you know, the U.S. is drastically different from Weimar Germany in the '20s. I mean, there's still a lot of people who have wealth. There's still a lot of people who are brainwashed into Christian Zionism. I mean, you know, I don't think I'm comparing the backlash in the U.S. to the backlash in Weimar. I am comparing that, but it's not exactly the same. It's going to look a little bit different. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the manifestations of this is the Texas GOP platform that we talked about last night and in plain sight, and maybe even in Florida and in certain other states like Tennessee and Kentucky that, you know, are pushing legislation against COVID, against critical race theory, against trannyism in sports. You know, that's the backlash that they don't want, but they're going to have to deal with it. They are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, Noam Chomsky looks at this, the backlash against critical race theory, and calls it a backlash against freedom of speech. And it's, that Ron DeSantis is the real deplatformer and the real anti-free speech person, the real censorship guy. He's burning.
Well, I mean, you know, to DeSantis' credit, I mean, no trannyism before fourth grade, damn it. You come in here after, you know, before fourth grade, and the conservatives will stamp you out.
It's hard to know what to say.
And if you're going to be a tranny, you better have GOP conservative values like Bruce Jenner. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can always win as long as you don't care which side you're on, right? If you don't care what side you're on, you can win. Just join
the side. That seems to be the whole GOP platform.
Well, you just
shift your values.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Bannon, we're going to forge a coalition of whites and blacks and Hispanics that's going to rule for 100 years. All right, is it going to be in our interests?
How long is that ruling going to last when our American cities are turned third world, like most cities in California? When the whites are displaced, I mean, that crumbles, that vision crumbles.
So there's a great deal of attention that was given to a recent by-election in Texas. Oh, actually, we're up on the break. We'll get to this when we come back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Yeah! Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Dr. Fauci has COVID-19. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Dr. Anthony Fauci tested positive for the Wuhan flu and will follow his own recommendations, I'm sure. After two vaccine shots and two booster shots and often wearing two masks, he still got COVID-19. I thought this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. In about a week, Dr. Fauci will praise the jabs for keeping him out of the hospital. He will claim that he only survived because of those jabs. Conveniently, two claims that cannot be proven. He will get his time in the spotlight again, which I am convinced is all he really wants. Well, that and all the money he's made off of Big Pharma. Don't miss the Liberty Lighthouse live stream tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with former Mafia capo Michael Franzese discussing his new book, Mafia Democracy, at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Ibis Pasham Parabellum.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back, and I was just saying there was a lot of attention to this recent congressional by-election in Texas where a Republican woman, it's like a district that's 70 or 80% Hispanic, and a Republican woman, a Hispanic woman, won. And this was a district that had voted for Biden supposedly by many percent and voted for Hillary by even more percent. And yet now you've got this Republican woman who has a hard line on illegal immigration. She's a Hispanic woman with a hard line on illegal immigration. Okay, well, that's something that we can agree on. But she doesn't have a hard line on legal immigration. She came here legally when she was a little girl, and she supports legal immigration. You can understand why you are going to get different people through legal and illegal to an extent. But the thing is that the immigrants here, a lot of immigrants come and want to hold the door open for other people from their homelands. You know, I would think that if you liked being around the people from your homeland so much, you should just stay in your homeland. But currently not everybody's like that. They come here and then want to hold the door open for everybody else from their homeland. And, you know, then that raises the question. If you're trying to form a coalition between, say, whites and different non-white groups or immigrant groups, are, you know, what fundamental interests differ. And although many whites don't see it, don't understand it, or don't feel it, the being, it doesn't matter necessarily matter that much whether their political power and is diluted and their demographic position is diluted by legal or illegal immigration, because, you know, you find legal immigrants who are extremely hostile to white interests, you know, whether you wanted to talk about Obama, whether you want to talk about Kamala Harris isn't they're not immigrants, but they're, you know, they're the children of immigrants. And right there, the children of immigrants are often worse than the immigrants in this way, because the immigrants themselves often, you know, they know how things were in their old country and maybe feel a certain gratitude to be here. But the children of immigrants are raised to feel a chip on their shoulder. So,
and how many of these GOP types, this female in the GOP that you're speaking of, you know, that is Hispanic and national origin, how many of them are in favor or against the BDS movement and loyalty to Israel? And this gets back, you know, full circle to our Steinleitian discussion of, you know, bring them in, but bring them in slow and brainwash them to be loyal to Israel via American patriotism.
Yeah, well, Steinlatt was smarter than the people who have actually been running the show. I don't know. So we're at the point where you've got massive numbers of people who have just completely given up on America. And it's not all people from the right. It's not all Texas GOP types. You've got polls. I don't know, was this a Pew poll showing that not just, say, Republicans in Texas who are looking towards independence, but Democrats in Oregon or Massachusetts who don't want to live with Trump voters anymore, and they want to have their own you know, socialist utopia, and they've given up on the idea of America, of course, because America was fundamentally racist and everything, and they want to start something new. But it's real. They're significant proportions of people who have just given up on the idea of America, and I think it's extremely significant. And you know, what does it portend for the future? I'll just throw that over to you.
You combine with that, you know, the white flight of you know, predominantly white working class and upper working class people leaving these liberal cities and coming to rural areas, you know, because of COVID, Black Lives Matter, whatever you want to throw out there. And, you know, you do have this huge divide in America, a huge divide. And I think that we're going to see this play out in, you know, rural areas versus bigger cities. And, you know, liberal areas and states. And so, you know, like you mentioned, it's not just Texas. It's many, many, many other states.
And then there's also, there was a recent poll conducted by the SPLC. And so you can make of it what you will, but it was asking questions. It had asked 1,500 people, and it divided them into men and women. I'm surprised not trannies. I mean, only two genders, really. Come on, SPLC. And Democrat, Republican, and then also young and old, with young being under 50. And what they found, one of the things that was really significant was basically the acceptability of assassination. Is it acceptable to assassinate someone who is a threat to our democracy or the country? Right now, I mean, because the thing is, they asked it, but they had both terms in the question. One was a threat to democracy and the other was a threat to the country, right? Who are either a threat to democracy or the country. Because, you know, the Democrats are going to they're going to get all riled up about a threat to democracy. And the Republicans are going to get riled up about a threat to the country. It was interesting that they asked it that way, but it was also pretty honest that they asked it that way. And what you found was that among young people, the biggest group was young Democrat men. But even if you looked at women and you looked at Republicans, there was close to 40% approval by people under 50 of political assassination. People over 50, it was way less. It was like less than 10%.
Yeah, this in the wake of January 6th and the hearings. Yeah, I can see that. If you want to transition over to that topic, CNN Politics, Trump, January 6th. If you want to transition over to that. Frustrated with January 6th hearings, Trump turns his ire toward his allies. Donald Trump is growing increasingly irritated with the House panel investigating the January 6th, 2021 riot, as it lifts the curtain on some of its findings with public hearings that have garnered gavel-to-gavel cable coverage, much to the annoyance of the TV-obsessed former president. So, I mean, the January 6th hearings obviously is an attempt to incriminate Trump or discredit him for running in 2024. And so regardless of what you want to say about Trump, these people obviously take him as some sort of a threat. And that's what these whole hearings are about. You mentioned the polls of parts of the populace that would be in favor of assassinations. Yeah, I mean, right or left. I mean, there are people on the right under the Trump camp that see this whole government as illegitimate. And, you know, I can see why they would respond that way to a poll on assassination, as radical as that is.
Mm-hmm. And Trump, he's campaigning. You know, he's not just sitting at home watching TV. He's out there campaigning, and he's gotten behind dozens of House candidates. I guess some of them might be incumbents, but I think for the most part these are new candidates. And the way things look right now, the Democrats will be completely trounced 5 months from now in the elections, 4.5 months from now, and at least in the House of Representatives. The Senate probably there, because there's more Republican seats that are being defended. It'll be all the Republicans can do to just say gain one seat and take control of the Senate. That might not even happen. Because also in the Senate, it's easier to, these are statewide elections and it'll be easier to do the faking. But the House of Representatives, you're very likely going to have dozens and dozens of MAGA people, of people kind of similar to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are going to be, they probably won't dominate the Republican Party, but they will be a big faction in the Republican Party. And here's something interesting. There's talk of electing Trump to be the Speaker of the House. Now, it would be unprecedented to have a non-member be the Speaker of the House, a non-member of the House. But if you look at the Constitution, it just says that the House shall select a speaker. It doesn't say it shall select a speaker from its own member. If something like this were to happen, there's no doubt it would go to courts and all this stuff. And I'm not expecting it to happen. But what I am expecting is there to be all sorts of kind of constitutional crisis, because this is likely to happen at the same time that there's likely to be a vacancy in the vice presidency. Most likely Brandon resigning or being pushed out for some reason. But chlamydia is very unpopular. Nobody wants chlamydia. And, it's possible she might wind up resigning for whatever reason. The way, Agnew got pushed out before Nixon did. At any rate, with a vacancy in the vice presidency, then the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and if there's a vacancy, it's likely to stay vacant for a long time, because especially after the midterm elections, the idea of getting somebody that Kamala Harris picks to be approved by that new overwhelmingly Republican and hostile House of Representatives, that good luck with that. So it's likely to be vacant, and then the Speaker of the House is in line to become president.
Well, I mean, it's just a further commentary on the backlash that we're seeing and the disgruntlement of the American populace. 60 million plus of the electoral map do not recognize Biden as being legitimate. And they say the 2020 elections are being fraudulent, and they also see the so-called insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th as being just a political show trials. So yeah, I mean, there's no telling where this could go when you have this much of the populace that have been alienated by the system. Further to the point of the people that are trying to run things don't have everything under control. And we could possibly see more evidence of this in the 2022 midterms, which they're frightened to hell of. They're very scared of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The point that I've been trying to make, whether talking about the constitutional crisis where you've got I think the Trump being Speaker of the House is a real long shot, but a vacancy in the vice presidency and an inability to fill it, and thus the Speaker of the House, whether it's Kevin McCarthy or Trump or somebody else, being effectively in line to become president, things like that, states. Maybe, what if there is a referendum in Texas, and 2023 could wind up being extremely hectic with the types of issues, constitutional issues, with the future of the country at stake. And Trump has been saying, people tell him to wait till 2024. It's like, we might not have a country in 2024. And then, you look at the massive policy failures, and Dmitry Medvedev, the former president of Russia, not talking about America, but he's talking about Ukraine joining the EU. He says by the time Ukraine is able to join the EU, there may not be a Ukraine and there may not be an EU. And so, we are moving into very, very precarious times.
Would this be a good segue into Russia threatens Lithuania with serious consequences?
It would be an excellent.
Moscow, from Russia Today, Moscow will retaliate to the transport blockade of Kaliningrad region, according to top security officials. Of course, Russia will respond to hostile actions. Appropriate measures are in the works and will be adopted in the near future. This according to Patrushev, as he told reporters during a trip to Kaliningrad on Tuesday. He added that the consequences of Moscow's response will have a serious negative impact on the people of Lithuania. If you would just give us a little brief, overall 30,000 foot view of this issue of Lithuania.
Okay. We're coming up on the break, but first of all, Kaliningrad is, if you look on a map, you will see along the Black Sea between Poland and Lithuania, this tiny little rectangle of land with the city Kaliningrad. And this had been part of East Prussia. It had been historically German. Even after World War I, a lot of the area got taken away, but still part of it was a discontiguous part of Germany. And then after World War II, more of it got taken away, but that little rump rectangle went to the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union, for whatever reason, had it be part of the Russian Republic rather than Lithuania. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
So we are back and just continuing on the whole Kaliningrad thing. That city used to be named, I think, Kaliningsburg, and it was a German city. And after two, there was.
You broke up a bit.
Okay.
Just repeat those last two sentences.
Okay. So this Kaliningrad region between Poland and Lithuania, it's what size is it? Maybe the size of Massachusetts or something. It's not particularly huge, but it's cut off from the rest of Russia And when the Soviet Union broke up, there was an agreement reached with Lithuania that that there would be free movement of goods, people and goods between the main part of Russia and this little exclave. And this has been cut off by Lithuania, which is an EU member, saying that, that any goods that are subject to sanctions will be prohibited. The Kaliningrad, their stores are well stocked. They're not in any immediate threat of losing supplies. Plus, they will be resupplied, at least provisionally, by boat from St. Petersburg, which is a few hundred miles to the north, and then they'll be, so they can be supplied by sea. But it is a very hostile act. That's the thing. It's a very hostile act. It's breaking a longstanding treaty agreement between Lithuania and Russia. And I don't know why Lithuania would do such a thing. It's an escalation, and why escalate in a war that you know, you're on the losing side of?
It really, well, from a 30,000 foot view, there seems to be, there's a natural alliance that should happen between Russia and Europe, especially with Russia supplying Europe its gas. And that natural alliance seems to be, you know, overtly, you know, trying to be impeded by NATO and EU membership. And that's the whole Ukrainian debacle. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, do you see that? Do you see that there's a natural alliance that could happen with Russia and the EU, this Eurasian thing? And how the West is really going all out to the detriment of themselves, you know, economically, to try to prevent that.
There, it's, you know, the West. When we talk about the West, these are countries that are dominated, countries and institutions dominated by Jewish power. And there was a period of time during the 1990s when Russia was also kind of a colony of Jewish power, and a lot of economic integration was allowed to go forward. And now that Russia's been moving away from Jewish power, that's become problematic. But we're at the end of the show, Jeremy.
Well, Tom flies. Stay classy, Patrick. Thanks for having me on, my friend.
Thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.